And we are, as a people, inherently and historically
wake up.
Opposed to secret societies, the secret oaths, and the secret proceedings.
The show that asks questions about why we don't ask questions.
What the hell is going on?
This is Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park. Welcome to Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park. These are conspiracies. I am Alan Park. And my voice is a little rough today, but it's really me. I'm very excited today because this is the anniversary week of 9/11. And so do we have a fantastic show on 9/11 today? No. No, we don't. Because everyone's talking about 9/11. And, you know, I've already covered a lot of stuff about this. And I'll do more later. I don't feel compelled to do it on the actual date. And especially when there are a lot of other interesting things going on, particularly from our guest today, John Rappaport, who's going to tell us all about what is going on inside the CDC regarding the latest situation over there regarding a false reporting from the inside of the CDC about the efficacy and safety of vaccines. Oh, go figure. Yeah, I'm going to open up that scab today. So if you are for vaccines or against vaccines, this is going to be a good show for you to listen to. John Rappaport will be here shortly. And you know, the cool thing about John is he has worked as a freelance investigative reporter for years, and he still does that. And he, you know, doesn't take the party line or the policy that's coming from the policymakers as necessarily the truth right out of the gate, because he's learned that's never the case. And he's fantastic to talk to and a great friend. And I think it's his third time on the show. So could be the first of three. Could be the first of many people doing three appearances on the show, hopefully. But first, let's go to some local news. And when I say local, I'm Canadian, so this is about Canada and our Prime Minister, who tries to do all kinds of things and only succeeds at the bad ones, is very thrilled these days because it turns out an old situation has been resolved. Some boats left England, ships in a thing called the Franklin Expedition. Now, I've not heard about this, but these ships left England in 1845. And, well, they didn't make it. They got here a couple of years later, and there are a lot of details there. Google it. But they found the ships. The ships are in the water, sunk, and we found the end of that story all these many hundreds of years later. Thank you so much, Mr. Prime Minister. Is there anything else you'll let our scientists do? Sure. Anything that doesn't have to do with monitoring the water coming out of the tailing ponds in Alberta, which is a practice that is absolutely nothing less or nothing more than raping the earth. We just got an email. I'll get to that in a second. Like we're live. Not really. Let's go to some other news. Got a couple of other points I want to talk about. Canada is excited about the fact that the spawn of the Queen's son, Prince Charles. Well, those two folks, him and his wife, Kate, they're going to have another baby. Isn't that fantastic? Aren't you so excited about it? And in Canada, we're really getting a treat. The Queen's horsey-faced little sister is coming over here for a visit. Isn't that neat? Princess Anne. I always forget her name. A friend of mine had a joke. It said, "Anne, how old are you?" And she stomps on the ground with her hoofs a couple of times. Anyway, Princess Anne will be coming to Canada this fall. Oh, I wonder how much that'll cost. All for nothing. All for nothing. Pomp and circumstance. That's it. Also, we have our some guy. I don't know why they let this guy run around our halls of power. His name is John Baird. And our leader really likes this guy a lot, and Stephen Harper, that is. And he says Canada has an obligation to help end the barbarians of ISIS in Iraq. Yes, Canada is jumping to the ISIS IV. Oh, mighty ISIS. That is, hilarious. John Baird says, you know, we can't look at it 10 years down the road and go, hey, we didn't do anything. Just like last time when we did do something after 10 years and all we have is the debt for it and a lot of dead soldiers. Anywho, let's leave all this current news behind and talk to John Rappaport. Let's go to our interview. John Rappaport has been a very busy man since, let's go back to August 20th. Is that about right, John?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I think that's when the storm hit.
Yeah, on your blog that day, nomorefakenews.com, excellent place to get all kinds of facts, ladies and gentlemen, if you're still not adverse to those. John listed the, described the CDC whistleblower, who at the time we didn't even know his name. What did he come out and say? And John, what was he in the first place? Why does this fella have a lot more credibility than, say, a Jenny McCarthy or somebody of that nature?
Well, because he is a CDC, Centers for Disease Control scientist, researcher, who's been there for at least a decade, has written papers that are published in major journals. And furthermore, what he was talking about, which was fraud, research fraud, having to do with vaccines, he himself was a co-author on the 2004 study that he admits was a fraud. So he's an insider, a deep insider. This is like not like somebody coming in from the outside saying, well, I perceive this kind of fraud. So this is a guy who wrote the paper, who said, I've been sitting on this fraud for 10 years now, and now I'm finally coming forward and admitting that we cooked the study, he and several other co-authors at the CDC, two of whom happen to also be high-ranking CDC executives in the vaccine branch. So he's really indicting some big-time people here.
Now, how does it work when a lot of times when people that used to work somewhere, you know, like a postal employee that then goes postal and kills a lot of people, how does it work with folks at the CDC now? Are they painting this fella up to be, well, he was always dissatisfied and we always, you know, the old character assassination thing, or how's it going for him now?
No, actually, they haven't gotten to that stage yet. First of all, what William Thompson, that's his name, the CDC whistleblower, who came out publicly with his name on August 27th of this year, what he basically said was, look, we did this study in 2004, and we said that the MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, rubella, had no significant causal connection to autism. But that was wrong because we omitted a whole set of data which showed that very young African-American male babies, less than 36 months old, who had been vaccinated with the MMR, had a 3 times greater risk, increased risk of autism. We left all that out. So that's the fraud.
And subsequently, people have been saying along the way, like, hey, all of your data is not in. I'm sure there's some other things. I said, no, this is it. We're all good with this.
Oh, yeah.
So they've maintained, sure. They've doubled down on that.
Discussions were held behind the scenes at the CDC, obviously, but they were not public. So what the CDC has basically done is to make no real official comment on what Thompson has said. They have been virtually silent because there's a media blackout on the story, because no major media outlet in America, except very rare examples, minor little stories, has even reported on this gigantic fraud. So the CDC is happy to just say nothing, for the moment at least, and they don't need to call him crazy. He's still employed there. he's not gone. He's still working there. So what's happening here is that one of the co-authors, in fact, the lead author on that study, Frank DiStefano, who is in charge of vaccine safety issues at the CDC as well, has given a kind of semi-interview, made a few remarks. And the gist of it is, well, we think we treated the data fairly in that study. There's a lot of different ways that you can possibly handle data. And in this particular set of data that we omitted, we didn't have enough information in order to include the data. We didn't have birth certificates on these African-American babies, so we didn't really include them in the study, et cetera, just kind of covering it all with a generalized gloss as a way of explaining why they left out that data and why everything is okay. Don't worry about it. It was a good study, still is, blah, blah, blah. And that's basically how they've been handling it so far. Now, the whistleblower, Thompson, he has a lawyer, Rick Morgan from Cincinnati, who is a whistleblower attorney. In fact, Thompson released his confession on August 27th through his lawyer. So he's lawyered up, which I'm sure he hopes is going to give him some kind of protection, which he needs. And the story keeps breaking anew almost every day, so we don't know what's going to happen from this point on, but that's kind of the general background.
Yeah. Well, earlier you had written on your blog that the CDC had refused for 6 months, more than 6 months, to hand over documents to a member of Congress who wanted to know what was going on.
He was a Florida congressman,
I believe it was, and he wanted to have a look at this stuff, and they wouldn't show him anything.
That's right. He asked for the data over and over again, and they wouldn't show it to him. They wouldn't send it to him. So this is, we're now talking in America, the executive branch, because the CDC is organized under the executive branch of government, telling the legislative branch to go screw themselves. And we're not going to show you any data. You don't deserve to have any data. Now, part of the legislative branch's mandate is that they can hold hearings and subpoena members of the executive branch to come in and testify under oath. But how are they going to do that if the CDC refuses to produce the data for analysis beforehand? So this is a situation where you would think that the Department of Justice could get involved, the FBI could get involved. I mean, if it were an honest government, of course, which it is not, some congressional group could get together, congressmen, and as a group, as a whole, begin to publicize this refusal by the CDC to send data, go to the press, make a big deal out of it, but that hasn't happened either.
No, but something did get put together on the, it wasn't really the CNN website, but it was an iDesk report that was put up there and subsequently taken down.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on.
About this specific incident.
A lot of putting up and taking down.
Yeah.
For example, Dr. Brian Hooker, who's a PhD engineer, he was one of the two basic contacts for the whistleblower Thompson before Thompson went public. Thompson and Hooker were talking on the telephone a number of times. They had been in contact since a year ago, roughly. And Thompson sent data to Brian Hooker, omitted data, and Hooker put together a study of his own, reanalyzing the data and showing this marked increase in autism among young male African-American babies who were vaccinated with the MMR vaccine. And that review, reanalysis, was published in a small journal called Translational Neurodegeneration. Okay, so about a week ago, that journal took Hooker's study down, removed it.
Huh.
The media, the Autism Media Channel website has been putting up stories and videos with audio from the whistleblower Thompson, and has repeatedly gone down and gone back up again. Just today, which is on my end here, September 4th, the Autism Media Channel has been up and down at least three times. Readers have been writing me, I can't get in there, yes I can, no I can't.
You mean the website crashes?
Yeah, it's just gone. Try again, can't get on. Then boom, it's back up again. No, it's back down again. And CNN, as you mentioned, has this thing called iReports, which is citizens just posting whatever they want to. So about, I'm going to say a week or 10 days ago, a couple of reports were filed on the iReport about this whole scandal. They got tremendous numbers of views. More than I'm sure a lot of CNN actual, you know, articles do.
Right, whatever they put out there.
Their usual nonsense, right? So CNN took the stories down. And they claimed that they were going to vet the stories as they do whenever they become popular to make sure that, you know, whatever, the public is being protected, you know, some kind of baloney. And then they put the stories back up. I got a report from somebody that they took them down again and then put them back up again. I'm not sure whether that last cycle happened, but this putting up and taking down is going on all over the place. And it just shows you the degree of control and the media blackout on this whole issue. Because what your listeners have to understand is when a big-time researcher who has co-authored a study on a key subject like this, vaccines, autism, in a major prestigious journal, in this case, Pediatrics, a co-author comes out and says, we cooked the data, this never happens. There's like a mafia law of silence, omerta, in the community research. You just don't do that. And the fact that this guy Thompson did is right away in the medical research community explosive. If the study were on any other subject besides vaccines, chances are this would have already been a national story. Huge. But nothing is happening. Nothing is happening.
A minute to sit on that. Okay, well, we're going to sit on this knowledge for a second and step away. We are speaking with John Rappaport from NoMoreFakeNews.com. You're listening to Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park, Channel 167. So, John, as you say, nothing has happened. And so far with this particular whistleblower, what's his name again?
William Thompson.
William Thompson. And we didn't know this originally. But if William Thompson is still at the CDC, and as you say, he's lawyered up, perhaps that's a good thing for him, because isn't it going to be just a matter of time before he comes out with exactly who it was that told him not to put something forward? Or if he decided on his own to not put something forward, what kind of systemic regimentation was making him feel that way? You know, what kind of internal referencing did they do at the CDC to, you know, train someone not to put something too inflammatory? Or is there a person who would have ordered him? And of course, that'll be a hard potato as well.
Very hard. Now, in his statement, public statement, confession, Thompson says that he has no plans to discuss this further with reporters. In other words, he's playing it very close to the vest because, you know, this guy's in a real crunch. The CDC knows who he is. They know that he's confessed to fraud publicly. They know he is at home with his family. They know where he lives. He is accusing, basically, his other co-authors of fraud, at least two of whom are major executives at the CDC. And so Thompson is trying to protect himself while at the same time confessing. So where it stands now is he's saying, I'm not going to talk to any reporters. Because, you know, if he did, he would have to face a whole lot of questions, just like the one you just asked. Well, how did it happen, Bill, that after you guys had all the data in, that fraud was committed? Who decided to omit that data? And I'm sure you must have raised an objection at the time, so who told you to keep your mouth shut? Why did you go along? All sorts of questions, very specific questions. How is this process of concealing data and committing fraud and endangering lives, how does this process go on at the CDC?
Well, are they going to say something like, yes, well, perhaps some people are going to be stricken ill, but it's better off for everyone for herd immunity and that kind of thing to make sure as many people get vaccinated as possible. And if we tell people about this particular problem, then maybe they won't get vaccinated.
They wouldn't say that. Now, they might say the first part of what you said, but they wouldn't say the last part. And that's why we decided not to include this set of data, you know, because that would be admitting that they committed fraud. That would be the whole CDC at this point. There's another aspect of the story, too, which is these other co-authors on the 2004 study have all authored papers, other papers, many other journal papers on vaccines, including Thompson. So now everything that they've done in the past is thrown into doubt. That's the way it works in the research community. You catch somebody committing fraud, and now you say, well, now we have to go over everything he's ever written or been a partner to, and in this case, it's four or five authors on the study, everything they've ever done with a fine-tooth comb, but it's not happening. None of that is happening.
What is happening, or what's your estimation of what's happening, and that there's no movement here? It seems very unusual.
They're waiting it out at the CDC right now. They're hoping that because they've got major media under control and the story is not being covered, that it will eventually just die out of itself and everybody will forget about it, or there'll be some new scandal in some other field that will grab everybody's attention. Or, you know, just the way news cycles work.
Well, that does tend to happen.
Yeah, of course it does. So that's their strategy at the moment, because they don't see any need to go any further. But, of course, they're aware that we're living in a new world now called the Internet. And there, the story is not dying. It's continuing to develop, and it's continuing to expand. They don't have a strategy to deal with that, other than maybe taking down websites occasionally here and there and squashing them. But aside from that, so far, you know, they don't have a clue. Well, I've been on several interviews, you know, and could have been on a lot more myself, and other people have been too. Millions of people around the world know about this now via the Internet. So how does the CDC deal with that? Well, I don't think they have an answer. Just like the New York Times doesn't have an answer for the fact that the size of the paper keeps shrinking and shrinking and they go deeper into debt and fewer people read the Times and they get their information elsewhere on the Internet. Just like the media outlets have no solution for that, the CDC doesn't either.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a new development, which I just came across today and wrote the story about. It's up on No More Fake News right now, and that is another audio with the whistleblower, William Thompson, before he went public with his name. This was a telephone conversation between him and I'm not sure who else, one of two people, Brian Hooker or Andrew Wakefield. And what Thompson is saying is, A, he would never give a vaccine containing mercury to a pregnant woman. He says the whole idea is just insane. And two, in sort of science speak, he says there's enough evidence now to conclude that mercury in vaccines causes autism. Now, that's gigantic coming from a CDC scientist. That goes way beyond anything he said before said later in his public statement. That had to do with the MMR vaccine, which, as far as I know, contains no mercury. Now he's talking about anywhere you find mercury in a vaccine or anywhere you found it before, under great public pressure and congressional pressure, mercury was removed from many vaccines. All sorts of people have been damaged, from children to adults to pregnant women, by mercury in vaccines. That's what he's saying. Now, that is gigantic. I mean,
yeah.
Wow.
So I'm a little confused that he still works there, Thompson. He's still at the CDC.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
How's that going?
See, I had been told by a reliable source about a week ago, or let's say maybe the 24th of August, a few days before Thompson went public with his statement, that he had been escorted off the campus of the CDC. I told this to a source very close to Thompson, and he immediately said, "Who told you that?" And I said, "Well, I can't say." He said, "Well, I haven't heard that." He said, "What I heard was he had some trouble with security guards there." I said, "Oh, okay." So I wrote the story. Now, Thompson, in his public statement, denies specifically that he was ever escorted off the premises. That's a direct response to my article on that, because, as far as I know, I'm the only one who wrote that. Well, I stand by my source, A, and B, it just adds to the confusion about why this guy is still working at the CDC. But my estimate is as follows. They made a deal, Thompson and the CDC. It was a kind of a standoff, at least for the moment. Thompson said, "Here's my lawyer. I'm going public with a statement." The CDC said, "You're walking on very dangerous ground, Bill. There's a lot of things we could do. I understand that. Lawyer talk, back and forth. Maybe we can come to some understanding here." Thompson says, or his lawyer says, "We'll frame a statement that will corroborate my client's dissatisfaction with this single study. He will not claim in writing under his name that anything else is wrong with vaccines at all. He will say that he's a happy camper at the CDC, that his employers have been nothing but supportive, all is well, blah, blah, blah. In return for that, he keeps his job and you guys leave him alone. We have data, safe. Anything happens to my boy, we release all the raw data all over the world. We have other statements that my client has made, you know, maybe in writing, on audio, video, whatever. These stay in the vault as long as my client is safe and he has his job." So some kind of deal like that could have been worked out. I don't know. But some kind of deal was worked out. That is, as far as I'm concerned, for sure.
Well, that is fascinating because it has gotten rather quiet on that front. And I have to ask you what you think is the difference between people such as Wakefield saying across the board back in the day, you know, that the vaccines were bad news. And now this whistleblower is saying, no, they're good. Still, we need them. It's just that some of the data, you know, I fudged or buried. And this is now coming down on the issue of color. Like it's more it's apparently going to affect black men more, black folks more than white folks with you these bet. Particular shots. So that's not something yeah. we really heard before either. It was just, you know, people that said vaccines were bad. They just said it was bad across the board. Now there apparently is racially pointed.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Andrew Wakefield, a British medical doctor who was stripped of his license, destroyed his career, and, you know, untold ruination as far as his life and family were concerned, originally came out with a case study many years ago in England in a journal. I think it was The Lancet. Where he just simply reported that he found some gut problems, digestive problems, infections with children who had received the MMR vaccine. Now, a reporter got a hold of this and blew it up in the press, and all of a sudden, it seemed as if Wakefield was saying, don't get this vaccine. Which originally he was not saying, but now he was thrust into the public eye and he was being slammed from pillar to post. And as far as I'm concerned, he, Wakefield, privately held lots of views about the dangers of vaccine and so forth, but what he had published was really minimal compared to that. But now he became a celebrity. And now mothers all over England were keeping their children from getting this vaccine. And so it became, you know, a dangerous issue for the medical establishment. So they destroyed Wakefield. He was not an insider ever. He was simply a published author and doctor. Now, Thompson, the current whistleblower, is an insider at the CDC. This is a whole different ballgame. It's much more threatening for Thompson to have said even what he said than for Wakefield to have published what he published. And if that particular reporter in England had left the whole thing alone, it might have passed unnoticed at the time and forever.
Hmm. But with Thompson on the inside as he is, it's a lot heavier a weight, is what you're saying.
Oh, man.
People don't realize, I don't think.
No, they don't understand, you know, and I keep repeating this over and over again because most people don't get it. But big-time fraud in a big-time study published in a big-time journal with the authors being CDC people and executives at the CDC and one of the authors saying fraud. We sat on this for 10 years, and who knows how many lives were destroyed, brains were destroyed, because people were not alerted to the dangers of the MMR vaccine because the study said it was safe. All of this stuff, you know, any honest media outlet would consider this a gigantic story.
Well, and I consider it a gigantic story.
And in fact, the medical journals would, too. They would be writing editorials on this. The Thompson affair. Scandalous. Scandalous.
Well, in a week of celebrities dying again and video award shows, I don't know how much time, John, you think there is for this kind of news.
Yeah, right.
It's a little bit hard to say, but we do have to step away right now, and we're going to. We're speaking with John Rappaport, and we will be right back on Sirius XM Channel 167. John Rappaport is with us, and we are going through a bit of a scandal that you might not have heard of. It turns out an insider at the CDC is telling us all about what the problem is with vaccines. And he's not just some actress with a vengeance. He worked there and still works there, and it's rather confusing. But John, on the subject of actors, please explain to me, you did go into this on your website, the comedic actor and stand-up comedian, former Saturday Night Live cast member Rob Schneider. I'm sure everyone is familiar with Rob Schneider. He is in on this story as well. Can you tell us how and why that is?
Well, Rob is a knowledgeable guy, as it turns out, when it comes to vaccines. He's not just, fooling around. So I'm trying to remember the website, the Canary Party, posted a letter about a week to 10 days ago that Rob had sent to the California governor, Jerry Brown, his office, stating that there was a whistleblower scandal at the CDC. It involved vaccines, MMR vaccine, and the dangerous connection to autism, and what are you going to do about it? When are you going to issue a warning to the people of California? Rob went further and said that he had documents proving the fraud had taken place at the CDC having to do with this vaccine, and that he was going to, he didn't say he was going to release it, but it was assumed that he would. So I wrote a piece, and others have, about his letter to Jerry Brown. We have no answer from Jerry yet on anything. And we haven't seen the documents that Rob has. According to one source, I don't know whether this is true or not, Rob's congressman is urging him to release it into the congressional record rather than anywhere else. I don't know if that's true or if so, what's holding that up, but I think that it should be released all over the internet, all over the world, those documents. And in the letter also, Rob mentioned that he was going to take out ads, large ads, in the newspaper of record up there in Sacramento where the governor's office is. I haven't seen that happen yet, so again, I'm not sure what's going on at the moment, but that stirred up quite a bit of interest. When I posted that story, there was a lot of feedback, and it went out all over the world. So, yeah, celebrities are getting involved. And it turns out, contrary to what, you know, lots of people think, that some of these celebrities know what they're talking about. Jenny McCarthy actually does know what she's talking about. And that's one of the reasons why people are so down on her, because she's not an airhead. She understands the issue, and she's more than willing to talk about it with, you know, taking no prisoners. So this makes her very controversial.
And you on your site as well wrote about Here Come the Mothers, mm-hmm. Regarding, bad news results from vaccines. What does that mean? A mother, are you saying a mother has an inherent knowledge of the child that transcends a medical doctor saying, no, you're fine?
You bet. I'm talking about mothers with autistic children. There are videos posted all over the internet now where these mothers talk. And what you see is a mother saying, I was there. I know what my baby was like before he got the vaccine and after he got the vaccine. I know what happened. I saw the change. There was a happy, sparkling, alive, alert, present baby. Then the vaccine, and my baby left the world.
Okay, let me ask you about this, because this is, again, going back to the race issue. There have been a lot of mothers that have said this, including Jenny McCarthy and others that are white. And what is the
what can we draw there between what the CDC says specifically about hiding this information regarding black people becoming more affected by these vaccines when so many white people claiming an autism vaccine link are out there?
Well, all I can say is they're not posting videos. I mean, I don't know. You know, first of all, it's a presumption for me to say that it's only the white mothers who are posting the videos. I don't know that for a fact. I only see a certain number of these. So I don't know if that's true.
Oh, no, what I meant to say, sorry, was that the report that has been suppressed by the current CDC whistleblower speaks more to a link between black babies and problems with the vaccine than white babies. But I'm saying prior to this particular scandal blowing open, you know, we've never heard any kind of racial divide here. It's just that the vaccines are dangerous and people, you know, there's never really been any mention of color before. Just are you?
Oh,
getting...
yeah. Well, that's, you know, you can talk to the CDC about that because they're the ones hiding the data. So how would people have heard about it? This may not be the only study where African-American babies data has been omitted. We just don't know. So who knows what the track record really is in terms of how much suppression of the truth the CDC has done. Yeah, I mean, that's why we haven't heard about it.
But I just mean if it is very concerning for black people that this is more of a link for them, I would imagine same as a sickle cell anemia where they're more predisposed to get that than anyone else. I just mean that with so many white people over the last several years on the side of vaccines being a bad thing and taking mercury into your body and all of that, if this suppressed report is right, it's really only black people that need to be concerned about this.
No, because as I just said a few minutes ago, Thompson, in a recorded statement, himself said that he would never give a vaccine with mercury to a pregnant mother. He didn't say black, white, yellow, green. And then he also said there's enough evidence now to say that mercury in vaccines causes autism. Well, that's a generalized statement. He's not just talking about, you know, one race. He's talking about everybody.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, the data in that particular study that was suppressed, yes, that was had to do with African-American babies. But here's another point. We don't know that that's the only fraud in that study. For example, I've examined other studies. There's the famous Thomas Verstraten study that was done three or four different times starting in the year 2000, having to do with mercury in vaccines causing autism. In fact, there was a whole meeting called so that Verstraten could clue in CDC people, pharmaceutical people, other U.S. government people, not reporters, on a slideshow that goes over his research step by step and exactly what he did to prove that there was no real connection between mercury and vaccines and autism. I read the transcript of that secret meeting, which was subsequently released. Long transcript, exceedingly boring. But there's a key spot in the transcript where you see one of the ways that Verstraten is cooking the data. And that is a doctor in the meeting pipes up, okay, so you examined a whole bunch of children who were diagnosed as autistic. How was that diagnosis done on all these children? Verstraten says, well, I don't know. I'm just looking at automated data records with certain codes in them that indicate autism. I couldn't tell you that. But maybe I can tell you how some of it was done later on this afternoon. Another doctor pipes up and says, doesn't matter what you hear today or tomorrow at this meeting, all of the children that Verstraten is studying were diagnosed with autism by primary physicians like pediatricians and family doctors. None of them were ever diagnosed by a specialist. The implication is Verstraten has no clue what he's talking about. Because in order to make a study that makes any sense, first of all, you have to decide, well, was the diagnosis of autism in all these kids legitimate or not? And how many was it legitimate? And then in that group, how many received a vaccine? And when did they get it? It was an entirely bogus study.
And once you put yourself out there as, well, we covered up this part of it, I mean, your credibility across the board now is suffering greatly. Well, what parts are you covering?
And I found other fraud in that study as well. And by the way, that study was republished 3 times. And each time that you read the successive versions of the Verstraten study, you see that it's wiping away more and more data, which one could assume might show a link between mercury and autism, until finally there is no connection whatsoever. So that is a gigantic amount of fraud. So we're looking at the CDC is fraud central. That's what they are. I mean, I've exposed them numerous times on gigantic amounts of fraud having to do with vaccines. And they're carrying it on in a fine tradition to this day and killing people and destroying brains in the process as they go.
Well, this is something that's been going on for quite a long time. We've only got a few minutes left, John, but I wanted to pick up, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about not just this MMR vaccine risk, which we now know is just as obvious as the most intrepid of us has already learned a long time ago, but Ebola. Where are we with Ebola in America? What is happening there?
Well, I don't know that I can really cover it in a few minutes, but to boil it down, first of all, what's happening is the test. You always have to look at the diagnostic test. I learned this, I don't know, it's 25 years ago now. When people say there's an outbreak of this virus or that virus or this disease, pandemic is going to kill everybody, the first thing that I do is I stop and I say, okay, how are they diagnosing the cases of whatever it is, in this case, Ebola? How are they deciding that people have Ebola? Because if you don't know that, you don't know what's really going on. Because people die from all sorts of causes. And in West Africa, where you have endemic poverty, starvation, protein, calorie, malnutrition, stolen land, poisons in the ground and in the water from a rubber plant and soda plant, and just, you know, horrendous living conditions, war, revolution that's been making people homeless for at least a decade now. People are dying all the time. So you could go into any one of these countries and you could cook up an epidemic as a PR piece by simply showing how many people are dying and say they're all dying of this particular virus. Unless you have good diagnostic proof, then everything is automatically suspect. So I examined the diagnostic tests that they're using, and as I've done in the past, have exposed them as frauds. They don't detect Ebola as the cause of illness. They just don't measure up. They claim to be doing that, but they don't. Part of the reason that the fear has been so great about Ebola is because we've been hearing stories about health workers over there who are not, many of them, not from the West African countries, just folding up and dying. So that immediately associates in people's minds, well, I could be one of those health workers, and Ebola attacks me, and I'm dead. But then I found evidence that these health workers who are treating Ebola patients, first of all, they're working in very hot quarters in hazmat suits that are totally sealed off, and they're boiling literally inside those suits. According to one article that I read in a major media outlet, Daily Mail, these health workers are losing 5 liters of body fluid in an hour inside those suits.
Right.
Then they come out. Then they have to be rehydrated for a couple hours, and then they go back in again, and the whole thing happens again. Not only that, but one of the doctors said that while he was inside the suit, there was an intense smell of chlorine. Well, they're using chlorine as a disinfectant on these doctors and health workers when they come out. But if he was smelling it intensely inside his suit, which was sealed off from the outside, that meant the chlorine was inside the suit. Well, that's a poison gas. So you now add that into the mix. And it's quite obvious that a lot of these health workers are going to come out of a week or two of this and just absolutely collapse. Some of them will die. Some of them will recover eventually. But if you call this Ebola, that's completely insane. But it's quite possible that a lot of what's being called Ebola in the health workers is actually what I just described. Then you have the two major diagnostic tests for the Ebola virus in a human being. The first is an antibody test. And what that does is it supposedly measures the response of the immune system in the body to the presence of that particular virus. So that if those particular antibodies show up, you can say, aha, the person has contacted that virus, which means it's been in his body. But prior to 1984, which is another long story, the presence of antibodies to a particular germ were always taken as a good sign. Oh, the immune system was fighting off the germ. At worst, all you could say was that the person had contacted the germ, but you could say nothing about whether or not he was sick or would get sick or had ever been sick. It was mostly considered a very positive sign, but all of a sudden the science was turned on its head, particularly because it would allow agencies like the CDC to elevate case numbers of diseases and spread fear and sell drugs and vaccines and so forth. All of a sudden it was interpreted to mean, no, the person is sick or is going to get very sick. Well, this is not science. This is just public relations lying through the teeth. This has nothing to do with illness or whether a person is going to get sick and so forth. And the other vaunted test for the Ebola virus would be the PCR or polymerase chain reaction test. And in this test, you take a very, very tiny sample of what you consider to be a very, very tiny piece of a very, very tiny virus, much too small to observe. And through a process, you amplify it and blow it up to the point where you can observe it.
Okay.
Two problems with that. One is you don't know whether you really started with a piece of a virus or just some cellular debris, RNA, whatever, from the body, or possibly another virus which is totally harmless. So what you end up looking at when you blow it up is up for grabs. You can't really say. You don't know. And the second problem is, if all you could find in the patient to begin with was this tiny, tiny fragment of something, then what on earth makes you believe that that would be enough to cause illness in that person? Because it's not the mere presence of a virus in a person that causes illness. It's a whole lot of that virus being very active all the time and reproducing, millions and millions of them. And if you had that to begin with and you could find it, you would have no need to do the PCR test to begin with. So those are the primary tests for Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
They simply don't work. They're useless, misleading, And so all of the case numbers and the fear mongering, we have these many cases and it's spreading here and there and blah, 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 mean absolutely nothing. And most of the time, what turns out is you've got doctors eyeballing people, and based upon some flim-flam history like, oh, well, he was in Africa, or he flew in from Sierra Leone, he's not feeling well, so he must be Ebola. It's just complete crap.
Yeah. Well, you have definitely researched much of this medical chicanery before. Is this just to keep us off base, frightened, and in need of whatever good news they're going to tell us, vis-a-vis vaccine or any kind of control? Is that what it is? It's just like a control method from the pharmaceutical cartel? Is it that simple?
You mean the whole idea of giving the vaccines and forcing
them? Sure. The whole idea of concocting what may or may not be Ebola, the whole idea of suppressing
what goes on
at the CDC.
They do this over and over and over again. Swine flu, bird flu, SARS, which people in Canada remember much better than the United States.
Sure.
You know, going all the way back, West Nile. They pump these things up as if there are, you know, monsters lurking, coming for us. To frighten the population, to sell vaccines, to get people conditioned to accepting vaccines, to taking drugs, to going to their doctor, to being good little boys and girls, compliant with everything the medical system tells you to do. That's what these are. At one level, that's what these are all about, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for helping us get this stuff exposed, John. You do great work. Have you got a Twitter handle at all?
You know, I hate to say this. I do, but I don't even know what it is. My tech guy operates it. It's actually growing by leaps and bounds. But I couldn't give it to you offhand.
Okay, well, we will be able to find it from your website then, nomorefakenews.com. John Rappaport, thanks very much for coming on the show, and we will definitely speak with you later. I'm sure there'll be another fall campaign to get the flu shot.
Oh, yeah, you can bet your bottom dollar on that. Yeah. Sure.
Okay.
Thanks again.
I just have to tell you, John, off the record now, last year I got incredibly sick. It turns out it was prostate cancer.
Wow.
And it was really bad. It was a ridiculously high count. Stage 4, aggressive, advanced, had already metastasized out of my prostate and into my bones everywhere. And that was in November I got that news. I had been sliding towards it for a while. But as it turns out, I started to take cannabis oil almost right away. And this was against the advice of my doctor. And anyway, within a month, I halved my PSA score from 700 to 375, pretty much. And then I did it again the next month, went from 375 to 24. Mm. And this was them telling me that I had to take a particular hormone suppressant therapy drug forever, every month, until you're done, kind of thing. You know, it was just like I had to do it. And after I tried it anyway, just to double down, but for 4 months I tried this stuff. It was ridiculous, the side effects that were hitting me. And then they said, oh, the worst one is going to be osteoporosis, and you will get that. You will get this in a couple of years. I was like,
and I
said, at that point, I get off this drug. He says, oh, no, then we just start treating the osteoporosis. And then if you have a problem with that, and so on and so, it's like a spider crack in your windshield. So I've just been doing this fantastic cannabis oil stuff, and all of my blood levels are down to zero. My doctor says, good for you, you're in remission, but as far as I'm concerned, you'll always have it. He says it's going to come back. It's going to hit you hard. And I asked him, I said, you want to bet? Do you want to bet? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, because I want to be wrong. And I said,
so are you taking the – that's a great story, man. Are you taking the hemp oil internally or rubbing it on?
Internally. And
okay.
I was taking it internally, and I was taking it internally for a while as a suppository. And my numbers are just incredible. And they now, after being told in November, December, you're too far gone for chemo or radiation, which is neat because I never would have opted for those. But it was fascinating to be told you're too far past it. And then saying now they have. As of apparently June this year, there is a new kind of chemotherapy. And now he wants me to take this when I'm just constantly coming in with these regular numbers that I've shown him, you know, why that works. And there's another gentleman that has a website up explaining this. He got the disease himself, and he's a biochemist. So he became fascinated with the notion that cannabis oil would work. You know, you have these cannabinoid receptors in your body. You don't have Viagra receptors and penicillin receptors, but you do have these things. And it's just been incredible where my numbers are like for 5 or 6 months now, just steady, normal, and they just won't credit. They won't credit anything having to do with it, anything that I've done having to do with it. They just say, well, you know, it's amazing, and they won't listen to it at all.
That's an incredible story,
but
man.
I'm going to still keep going with it and, you know, just keep on going and do the same thing that I've always been doing.
You bet, man.
You know, and they're like, they have a registry here where you're supposed to ask permission to buy it from a certain place. And if that place is closed or there's a flaw or some kind of mold or something, you're not allowed to buy it from a different store. I mean, the whole oppressive registry is just, you think I'm going to ask permission if I can take a plant and cure myself? You're crazy. That's kind of where it's at right now. But it's pretty exciting. I'm building a page about it, and when I get it done and everything is kind of in there, I'll send you the link and
see
what you
say. Please, I want to see it, man. That's fabulous.
It's so great to not be dead, I have to say. I know things are going crazy and to hell around the world, but it's so great to not be dead, I have to say.
Yeah, it's a plus for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, thanks for coming on. I'll send you a link and tell you when this is.
Yeah,
up
let me know. Send me that link when it's there, and congratulations. That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon, John. Thanks for coming on again. I appreciate it.
Okay, take care, man.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to Conspiracy Queries with Alan Park. Please offer comments or complaints by emailing conspiracyqueries@gmail.com or on Twitter @con_queries or at our website, conspiracyqueries.com. Thanks for listening.